You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Henrik Stenson is crowned Europe's number one golfer for a second time.
I'm certainly going to look at that Clara Jug and the Race to Dubai and maybe tangle up that silver medal on top of them and sit back and enjoy the really nice year that I've had on the course.
The Swede claimed the Race to Dubai after a top 10 finish at the DP World Tour Championship, which was won in dramatic style by Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Words can't describe it, you know, it's not going to sink in for a while. Particularly here, with it being the sort of Wentworth, the flagship event, it's been incredible.
We'll speak exclusively to the Englishman later in the show as we look back on all the action from the season finale in Dubai, plus we'll preview the World Cup of Golf. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is Jamie Spence. The end of a very busy year on the European Tour, Jamie.
Yes, it's been a great year as well, hasn't it? Some wonderful major championships, a Ryder Cup, obviously, which could have gone better for us. And some great winners during the year, Rob, some wonderful events.
We'll reflect on the winner of the Open Championship at the same time as reflecting on the winner of the Race to Dubai. It's the same man, Henrik Stenson. What a season.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to be on course following Henrik around there the weekend at the Open, playing with Mickelson. And that was probably the best golf I've witnessed live, I have to say that, especially the last day there. So the golf that both of those players produced was just incredible. And Stenson, I think it was one of those now or never moments for Henrik, and he really richly deserved the claret jug. Some of the putts and some of the shots he hit coming in those last five holes were just extraordinary.
It's his best season ever. He wins the Open, the BMW International, and he got silver at the Olympics and the Race to Dubai. That's not a bad haul in 12 months.
It's pretty impressive, isn't it? Won the Race to Dubai a couple of years ago as well. He's just becoming a better and better player, I think. He looks really fit. He looks strong. His game's in a great place. He's still got a few years left in him yet, I think.
He has, and quite difficult for him to bat off the likes of McIlroy or Willett, or those were Alex Noren that were coming at him, when he wasn't, in his own words, playing as good as he wanted to. Quite stressful.
Yeah, it was going to be some performance to topple him, actually, last week in Dubai. Willett and Noren had to win, McIlroy had to win, and hope that Henrik had a very poor week. It wasn't going to happen. I think from early on in the week, that became apparent. But as you say, Henrik's had some incredible performances this year. Very, very consistent. Quite a few runners-up spots as well, which you forget about. He's on the leaderboards virtually every week, and the Open Championship was just the crowning glory for me.
Yeah, he's just a top bloke and a top golfer. Let's hear from the year's top golfer.
It's been an amazing year for me. I didn't think I was going to be able to top 2013, but I think as a whole, I think I've done that. Maybe not the level of golf that I played throughout the year, but at the right times, so I played some great golf, and winning the Open, winning the BMW International, and being up there in contention at the Olympics, and then winning the overall. It's been a great season, and it feels lovely to top it off with the Race to Dubai title.
Can you give yourself a little time off to celebrate, to really mark the achievement?
Yeah, we'll have a few. I think I got an extra week this year. I think it's actually 6 weeks in between seasons, which is huge. It's never been much of an off-season in the last year, so yeah, happy to have a bit of a break, and I'm certainly going to look at that claret jug and the Race to Dubai and maybe tangle up that silver medal on top of them and sit back and enjoy the really nice year that I've had on the course.
He got asked yesterday, Jamie, at the prize giving in Dubai about, you know, his targets for next year, and he said copy-paste.
Well, yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I'm sure he'd be looking at maybe trying to win one of the other majors, possibly maybe the Masters or whatever. But whatever comes your way, you grab. But
how many players in the world are better than he is?
Not many. I think there's quite a few players, when they're on their games, they just have that extra special a bit about them. You put Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day. I mean, you've got Matsuyama coming into the fold now, and Jordan Spieth is obviously still there.
He's just won
the Aussie Open. So there's a whole group of players now that when they're really on their game, they're hard to beat.
Yeah, some tremendous talent at the top of the world rankings, no doubt about that. Now, despite leading the Race to Dubai rankings for most of the season, the Masters champion Danny Willett had to settle for second place.
Golf's not been good enough this last 2 months. A few little scheduling issues, maybe playing a bit too much, and you know, trying to force the issue instead of just playing a limited amount and backing yourself to do well in the ones that you're playing. So yeah, going forward, I'll have a little look into that. But again, yeah, I mean, it's disappointing coming off there and knowing that you're not going to finish one, you may not even finish two, depends on how things go. yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just a shame that, the last 4 weeks have kind of been as they have.
More majors for Danny?
You never know, Rob. I think it was probably a shock to his system, actually, to have that green jacket.
I think that's fair.
It would have been. It probably took quite a lot to get used to as well. Mm. But let's not forget, he's had a real run-up to win the Masters. He won the Nedbank, he won the Swiss European Masters, he won Dubai earlier this year, third in the Cadillac. It's a lot of good form from Danny. So it shouldn't have been unexpected to anybody, really. But I think when you win something as monumental as that, takes some time to settle down.
It was still a very good year, a green jacket, and he finishes second in the race to Dubai. Now, the man who finished third after an incredible season, particularly in the last 6 months, was Alex Norén, four times a winner on the European Tour.
It's been great, and I'm happy. You know, my game is a lot steadier, which I'm mostly proud of, you know, because I've had my kind of ups and downs in the past. And to have a steady game, you know, a little bit steadier, like today, I wasn't losing it left and right, and that feels so much more calmer, and then you can work on over the rest of the the break and try to come out stronger next year.
Fantastic summer for Alex, Jamie, and... You know, he was always a range monkey on the range, working on drills, perfecting the swing,
as opposed to
concentrating on actually playing the game. But by Jove, he's got it.
Yes, well, he's joined his old club and hasn't got a range. So he's just playing golf now.
That's correct.
Maybe we should all do that.
It's Ulna. Do you remember Ulna?
Yes, I do remember
Ulna. In Stockholm.
Lots of water. I do remember that, yeah. Nice course.
Oh, it's a fun course.
I'll tell you what, the 63 at Nedbank in the last round in that wind on the firm greens was probably the best round he's played all year. Probably best round of his life.
Is it possible around that golf course on a breezy afternoon to be 9 under par after 11 holes?
No.
It's not possible.
No, it's not. That's
9 under par after 11 holes.
Yeah, it was an incredible... He started 6 shots behind that day, and he won by 6. So that was the round of his life so far.
Yeah, extraordinary stuff from Alex Norén. What a great season he's had. 4 wins, just brilliant. Now, last year's Race to Dubai winner, Rory McIlroy, finished behind Tyrrell Hatton in 5th place, but was quick to pay tribute to the victor, his Ryder Cup teammate, Henrik Stenson.
It's a great achievement. You know, I think what you need to do, you know, especially someone like Henrik who plays... You know, both sides of the Atlantic and plays 2 tours. You know, you have to have those big wins, and obviously winning the Open was huge for him. And you know, he's been so consistent. He's been one of the most consistent players in the world for the last nearly 10 years, I guess. I remember when he won the Dubai Desert Classic back in 2006, I think, and I was still an amateur at the time. And you know, he's winning it, so he's been one of the most consistent players for the last few years. And it was great to see his consistency rewarded, not just obviously with the Race to Dubai this week again, but with an Open Championship and a major this year.
Nice of Rory to say those nice words about Henrik Stenson, but I think everyone's recognised that what the Swede did during the summer, particularly in the last round, mano a mano with Phil, who played his best stuff and beat him, was just extraordinary.
Well, Rory's done it himself, yeah. So he recognises...
greatness recognises greatness, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly do.
Yeah, that's why you and me are set up to each other, Jamie. Mm. A full recognition.
Yes.
Now, that was
the... mediocrity.
I would say effusing with mediocrity. That's how I feel we are. So that's the end of the Race to Dubai. That's all wrapped up in a nice little neat parcel. What about the DP World Tour Championship itself? A fantastic win for Matt Fitzpatrick.
It was, wasn't it? Obviously, the subplot was who's going to win the Race to Dubai, but that was sort of over after the first couple of rounds, really. But Matt Fitzpatrick and Tyrrell Hatton really, really took it to us, gave us a great thrill in that last round. And Fitzpatrick's short game, especially his putting. I've followed him quite a few times, Fitzpatrick, and his putting has really, really impressed me. I think he's put a bit of distance on off the tee as well, which you need around here.
Yeah.
But he really held it together really, really well, and he had a great bunker shot in 17. That was probably the shot of the week for him.
Tyrrell Hatton might have pepped him with the bunker shot that he holds for his par.
Smart first bunker shot, actually, out the plug lane. Well, no chance to get in the green.
No.
And he just knocked it up the bunker.
Onto the upslope.
Yeah, in it went.
In it went. And then what I couldn't understand is if you couldn't carry the cross creek, if you couldn't fly it 310, then you're in the wrong club.
Well, it narrows up there where they hit the driver.
Squeezes up into a...
It's easy sitting here saying it, isn't it? He probably felt he wanted to make birdie there to make sure.
But 5 didn't kill him.
No, it wouldn't have killed him. 3 would maybe off the tee. There's a bit more room up the left there.
Yeah.
We saw Rory and a couple of others go up the right-hand side, but it was a long carry for most of the players. So, yeah, you hit it too straight, Rob.
I was just surprised that, I was surprised... With a one-shot lead going up there, that you would just bring the creek
experience
into play.
Yeah, but he'll learn. You'll learn from that. Yeah. He really will. Sit back and think.
Good player.
Oh yeah, he's had a wonderful season.
Wonderful
as well.
Season, Tyrrell Hatton. Yeah, he has. So it's sort of ding-dong battle with those two coming down the back nine, and I had Hatton as favourite, really, with a few holes to go.
Well, he was, wasn't he? Fitzpatrick on 15 hit a poor iron shot off the tee there. Lucky, really, he held a really good putt there for par, and two good putts on 16 as well, and he held on 17. Hatton was playing some good stuff, so I think it was Hatton's to win, really, but Fitzpatrick just dug in there and didn't go away and made a very good birdie on the last.
Well, Jamie, let's hear from the man himself. Matthew, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Very good.
What was it like yesterday playing the back nine?
I mean, it was not stressful in a bad way. It was just stressful, you know. You're sort of itching for me personally, just itching it. It's been a long year and just itching it for it to be over. You know, just putting everything into every single shot that you've got coming in and for it to pay off was fantastic.
Were you aware when you stood in that last tee that up ahead, Tyrrell had made a ricket up the last?
Sort of. I saw someone by the water, and I think, and then I made out it was Rafa. But I mean, I wasn't 100% sure. Other than I was just always going to try and make birdie. There wasn't anything going to change on that tee. But you know, finally get up to the green, and you see the leaderboard, and I was tied with him. And then it was at that point that I sort of knew that I needed to make my up and down.
Making all those birdies is one thing, Matt, but what about that par save at 15 and especially on 17?
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was certainly 15 and 17. I seem to remember going in a lot of bunkers yesterday, I've got to admit, and I think that was a sort of a helping hand because I feel like I'm pretty strong out of those and it certainly paid off.
How difficult will it be for you, Matt, not to set the bar too high going into next year?
I think it will be very difficult, to be honest. I think we sort of have had a few team meetings previous to the end of the season about sort of setting my goals for next year, and we've got a couple of things in mind, and I almost think it was almost just the start of what we're trying to achieve, I guess. And I think we're always trying to be realistic, and I think that's something I struggled with maybe a little bit this year at the start of the year, and in the middle it's just a bit of perspective, you know. I said it yesterday, 22, and sort of having three wins is pretty special. So, you know, I've just got to, like I say, just get a bit of perspective sometimes and not get too hard on myself.
I thought it was a nice little moment, little vignette, really, when you walked up before you signed your card, you walked past Henrik Stenson, he said, "Well played, partner."
Yeah, no, he was... I mean, Henrik's been great with me since I first properly met him as an amateur in 2013 at the Open. When he finished second to Phil, but I barely knew him then, but he was very polite, always said hello and made the effort, and that was nice. And I mean, likewise for Tyrrell to come and say well done, you know, that's something very special, and it's great of him to do so. And for me to have Martin Kaymer and Thomas Peters came, said well done after I'd signed my card as well, that's small things like that mean a lot.
So what's next, Matthew? What are you looking forward to playing in next year?
I'm not thinking about golf for 5 weeks. I'm putting the clubs away and I'm just having a break from it. So
I bet you think about Augusta.
Well, I mean,
you liar.
I mean, that is true. I've got to admit, it's that place is a bit different to everywhere else. But no, just looking forward to a break, if I'm honest, and then sort of reevaluating when I get home.
Well done, Matt. Listen, a fantastic season. You wound up being the top man at the DP World Tour Championship, and you had a Ryder Cup in there, and you had another win in Sweden. It's all good for Matthew Fitzpatrick. Have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you.
He's achieving a lot, isn't he, Jamie? Lovely chap, Matthew Fitzpatrick, at a very young age. But keeping that going is going to be the challenge for him.
Yeah, it is. You wouldn't think the Earth course in Jumeirah Estates would be the course for him, really. 7,800 yards, a lot of bunkers to carry at 280 mark.
He's not short, though.
No, he's not short, but, I think this course last week really helps a longer hitter. But if you've got a short game and a brain that Matthew Fitzpatrick possesses, then he can win anywhere.
It was his third European Tour title and second of the season following victory at the Nordea Masters earlier this year. At 22 years of age and 80 days, he becomes the youngest winner of the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai, beating the previous record of Rory McIlroy, who was 23 and 205 days in 2012. All right, time to hear from the runner-up Tyrrell Hatton. The Englishman was gutted to see victory slip from his grasp with a bogey at the last.
Obviously, at the moment, it's a bitter pill to swallow, but, you know, it's been a great week, and for me, it's been, you know, the best year of my life, so I can't get too downbeat, but, you know, these things happen, and, you know, it is what it is, and I'm happy with how the week went, and, you know, I'm sure hopefully in the future I'll take my next chance.
Winning's difficult, Jamie, isn't it? Even when you're going up the last and you've got to do something, it's not easy.
Never easy on a hole like that as well. Lots can happen. And I'm quite pleased, to be honest with you, to hear him so disappointed. You know, you think some people finish in second with all the money it brings and everything else to be really... But he's not. He wants to win. And I think that says a lot about Tyrone. He wants to go out there and do his best and win golf tournaments. So I like his character. I like his spirit. He's got a lot of fight in him. He's
great breakthrough at the Dunhill Links Championship, particularly the way he played that last round.
Yeah, and he's got a bit of arrogance about him, which you need as a golfer.
You do.
You've got to be confident in yourself.
Yeah.
And he gets a bit of criticism for that, but I like it.
Can you say he's an English Patrick Reed?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, absolutely. I think if he teed up the Ryder Cup, it wouldn't bother him at all.
No.
I think he'd love it.
All over that, yeah. I've really enjoyed watching Patrick Reed in his last two Ryder Cups, and I'm sure when Tyrrell gets there...
He's annoying, but you love to watch him.
In what way is he annoying?
Well, Patrick Reed is annoying, isn't he, to watch, as a European, probably.
He doesn't annoy me, Patrick Reed, I must say.
No, he's a bit like Poulter. I'm sure the Poults used to really annoy the Americans, but...
I mean, a Marmite pro.
Yeah, he is a Marmite pro, but, I like him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all over Tyrrell Hatton. Yeah, he's played some great stuff and narrowly missing out on the big prize at the end of the year. Now, tips-wise... You went for Brandon Grace, who finished 27th. Ordinarily, in a short field of 60 players, you might have thought that wouldn't win. But fortunately for you, you're up against Dan Roebuck.
Yeah, I know.
Who is the world's worst tipper.
He's the world's worst.
And he went for Andy Sullivan.
Yeah. Well, Sully played well the previous week, didn't he? That fooled him. So, Grace has had a few top tens, but didn't play so well at the start of the week. Finished strongly, 27th.
But, you know, Hatton, Sullivan, Fitzpatrick, there's a lot of really good English pros now.
It's hard to pick winners as well, isn't it? But you're right, the English golf, there's a lot of good English golfers with Fleetwood as well. David Horsey's had a good end of season as well.
I mean, you can keep going and we keep going for quite a while. But, it's in rude health at the minute. Top 10 from the DP World Tour Championship, please, Jamie.
Well, it's a log jam at 9 with Henrik Stenson, the champ, with Rory McIlroy, Tommy Fleetwood and Jorge Campillo. Good season for Jorge. Tied 4th, another logjam, Kolsarts, Dubuisson, Kjeldsen, Molinari and Wiesberger. Charles Schwartzel, good weekend for him, finished 3rd place. Tyrrell Hatton was 2nd and the champion, Matthew Fitzpatrick.
And for the final time, Jamie, the top 10 in this year's Race to Dubai.
In 10th place, picking up the last bonus check as well, Louis Oosthuizen. In 9th, Bernd Wiesberger. Great season for Bernd. Rafa Cabrera-Bello is at 8. Brandon Grace is 7. Matthew Fitzpatrick climbs up to number 6. Rory McIlroy is at 5. Tyrrell Hatton at 4. Alex Noren, the 4-time winners, at 3rd. Masters champion Danny Willett at 2nd, and our champion for the whole year is Henrik Stenson.
So as well as winning the Race to Dubai, the Open Championship, the BMW International and the silver medal at the Olympics, Henrik Stenson has now been made an honorary life member of the European Tour, an award that's given to anyone who's a European Tour member that wins a major championship. So his win at the Open this year gives him that famous and most coveted award. And Yung-Hun Wang was crowned the Sir Henry Cotton Rookie of the Year after back-to-back wins on the European Tour in May, as well as a 10-under-par tied 17th finish at the DP World Tour Championship. And, by the way, one of the rounds of the year, Saturday in Sun City, he shot 64 and the greens are hard and they tucked the pins away. It was an amazing score and he very nearly won there as well. Now, it's congratulations to Thomas Edling as well after he won this season's Fantasy Race to Dubai game. His Iceman is coming. Team amassed a whopping 37.4 million points, 3 million more than his closest challenger. And a tip of the cap to Max Keller, who won the most points this week. His Hammer Time 2 team was captained by Tyrrell Hatton with Matthew Fitzpatrick as his vice-captain. Now, in other news, big news from the European Tour this past week with the announcement of the Rolex Series, a new concept starting next year featuring a minimum of 7 tournaments in 7 iconic golfing locations across the world. The BMW PGA Championship, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted by the Rory Foundation, there are longer titles available, the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open and the Italian Open will join the 3 final series events, the Turkish Airlines Open, the Nedbank Golf Challenge hosted by Gary Player and the season-ending DP World Tour Championship as part of the new schedule. All have prize funds of $7 million, except for the DP World Tour Championship, which is $8 million. I wish I was a young tour player now, Jamie.
Yes, don't we all, Robert?
Gosh, I would look forward to Christmas.
Yes, we would.
Well, here's Rory McIlroy's reaction to the announcement.
It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, to have a series like this where you get the best golf tournaments on the European Tour for great prize funds, trying to bring the best players together more often. And I think a big, a big thanks has to go to Rolex for getting involved and partnering with the European Tour and making it, such a unique and big opportunity for the European Tour and for the players. I think everyone's excited about it, and I'm looking forward to playing in them next year. And it'll definitely add a new element to the European Tour. And Keith Pelly and everyone that works with him and bringing this on board, they've done a great job. And it's a real boost for the European Tour. So very happy.
Well, the tour is trying to push onwards and upwards. So that's a big announcement, that the Rolex series, Jamie. And also, digital media-wise, they did some really quirky things last week. First of all, the Rory McIlroy big little interview with him was very funny.
Yeah, it was funny, wasn't it? And
Rory able to laugh at himself.
Yeah, fair play to Rory for allowing any question. And young Billy certainly threw a few his way.
He did. He threw a few spanners in there, and Rory dealt with it beautifully.
He did. And I like the mannequin was
Yeah, the
was
mannequin
terrific.
Challenge, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think that was one of the best ones I've seen.
That must have taken some organisation.
It looked like it, didn't it?
I mean,
one take as well.
And you keep going, well, no one's going to stand still for that long.
No,
take four.
It was clever. It was really
good.
I want
to practice. Go away. It really was very, very good. Yeah. Yeah. And that seems to be the way forward. Digital media. People consuming media in different mediums now.
I love digital and social media.
You're all over it. I know you are.
Mate, I mean,
you've got the Snapchat going
everything.
And the Instagram, Facebook.
Twitter.
I love it. You're all over it. J.W. Spence, Tipster Incorporated. Now, meanwhile, the European Tour has introduced a new system of players being able to retain their European Tour cars, Jamie.
Yes, Robert, they have. It's called the Access List, which will run alongside the normal Race to Dubai list. And it just creates a list which doesn't include the WGCs and the majors. So it gives players coming from the Tour School and Challenge Tour that opportunity to get into tournaments. They're going to have 10 spots at the end of the year for those players on that list to run alongside the Race to Dubai list. And during the season, if you're on that list, the top three or four, whatever it is.
So you can upgrade yourself,
you can
basically.
Upgrade yourself, yeah. So it's a good opportunity.
It's performance-based.
It is, because obviously getting into all these big tournaments, there's only so many players that can play.
Sure.
So it just gives a little bit more opportunity to people.
Very good. Looking forward to see how that all works out. Elsewhere, England's Nathan Kimsey sealed an impressive victory at the final stage of the European Tour qualifying school in Girona as 30 players earn Race to Dubai spots for next season. And Jordan Spieth, for the second time in 3 years, has won the Australian Open again. Amazingly, he had a three-way playoff and he closed the deal at Royal Sydney. So no European Tour event because we've just finished the 2016 season. It won't be long before we start the 2016-17 season. But as a buffer, as a filler, for this week, it's the World Cup. Down in Australia.
Yeah, the World Cup's back. It's on a great, great course down in Australia. Great time here to go down there and play golf. And there's some very good teams as well competing.
Before we get into the event, let's hear from England's representatives, Andy Sullivan and Chris Wood.
Obviously, you look at it when it comes out in the schedule, it's every couple of years, and you're going to target to make the team. And, fortunately, I've snuck in this year. Also, that it's down in Australia. I mean, the golf course is down there phenomenal. And I've played Kingston Heath before when I was an amateur. And to go back and represent your country. And, we both did it when we were sort of 18, 19, 20 for the England team. So to do it as pros is pretty cool.
Special, isn't it?
Yeah, any time you get to represent your country, it's special, And especially when, doing it at the top of the pinnacle of your career. So it's absolutely fantastic, So it's something special and something that will stay with me for a long time.
What's it like to have Chris as a partner?
It'd be awesome. Obviously, we got on well at the Ryder Cup and stuff. And obviously, I'm very grateful that my man here picked me. So it's been great. And obviously, I think our games are pretty similar. I think we're pretty good tee to green and around the greens. We're very good. So hopefully we can put up a good fight and bring back the cup.
So it's Sullivan and Wood representing England. But there are some strong pairings in there. You can go through them, Jamie.
Shane Lowry, Graham McDowell, Ben Ann, Katie Kim for Korea. Sleeper, Danny Lee and Ryan Fox.
Ryan Fox nearly won the Aussie Open.
Yeah, he's a good player. Russell Knox is playing with Duncan Stewart.
Again,
that's a bit of a surprise.
That's surprised a lot of Scottish players, obviously.
Yes, it has. And Bradley Dredge with Stuart Manley. Tongchai Jaidi, Kiriget, Afi Barnrat. The United States has sent Ricky Fowler and the USPGA champ Jimmy Walker. They'll be a tough pair. Norrin and Lingmuth. They've got to have a chance, haven't they?
They've got to have a chance. Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker got to have a chance. They're good mates.
Has Walker played well lately since the PGA? I don't think he has. He didn't play well in the Ryder Cup.
No, maybe not. Maybe he'll be inspired by the beauty of Kingston Heath. What a golf course.
Yeah, the beautiful courses down there, Royal Melbourne, Victoria, and all the rest
of
them.
Fantastic.
Metropolitan, great courses down there.
So, who is your tip, Jamie Spence?
I don't know. You go first this time.
I'm going to go an outlandish tip. Two mates. One is it's the saucer. The saucer? It's not a saucer. There's not even a teacup involved. It's the sorcerer and the sorcerer's apprentice, i.e. Nicholas Kolsarts and his young understudy, Thomas Peters. Team Belgium for me.
Yeah, good pick. I'm torn between Norrin and Lingmuth and Lowry and McDowell.
Oh, cheeky.
I know.
And I mean, you're keeping it all European, aren't you?
Well,
you could have gone global.
I know
you like to go global.
I think the New Zealand team will do well as well. But I'm going to, do you know what? I'm
going to
take a bit of a punt. I'm going to go with the Irish. I like Shane Lowry as a player. I think this sort of golf course will suit GMAC as well. Great putter. I'm going to go with Ireland.
Ireland versus Belgium for you and me. It should be a lot of fun. That's it for now. Please join us next week when we will review the aforementioned World Cup of Golf from Kingston Heath and look ahead to the Alfred Dunhill Championship as we start to look ahead to the next season. It's almost upon us on the European Tour and, of course, the Australian PGA Championship. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. You can find Jamie Spence on all those mediums. And if you have any golf questions for us to answer on the show, you can tweet us at European Tour with a hashtag #ETPodcast. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for
Ireland,
and myself, Robert Lee, who's gone for Belgium, it's goodbye.